It's not the prayer for answers, you know. It's to contact the Lord. So that view of contacting the Lord is really, long run, it always wins. Right? Any other questions? How many enjoy the view of Abraham's abiding? Yeah. It'd be good to pray, read that chapter. And anyway, that chapter has helped me, not that I can do exactly what he can, but also I enjoy that he wasn't that, you know, super either, just like us. Now, many times we sell our wives, huh? Right? We go to Egypt, but we confess, clean our being out. Is this on? Any more questions?
Can you share with us how you get into the Word?
Oh. You want to keep me here for 2 days, huh? We have about the same secret. We went to Berkeley when the brothers had San Francisco. We just about have the same. Mainly, it's like Bradley shared, is get cleared up in your being, confess, and, you know, get your essential enjoyment. When you go to the life studies, don't go as an old man. And then the words will begin to touch you. The words that touch you gives you new feelings and new utterance. These new feelings and new utterance is the Spirit and it is life. So what you do is you just exercise, you go before the Lord, and as you touch the Word, it jumps. And this helps. I mean, I'm just enjoying Genesis. The ministry is marvelous that leads you into the contact of the Lord. Yeah. So you need the Spirit to be engaged to touch. Then your mind will follow. But don't go in just with your mind. And some things, it's a deposit you put into you. And then when the Lord touches you, there's something in you that can respond. The Spirit. The Spirit and the Word together produces light. When God first recovered, he recovered to the brooding Spirit. The Word came, God said, and that said with the Spirit is light. Spirit and the Word is light, producing life. Right? And divides darkness from light, then things above from below. Things from death to life, all the growth in life. Okay? That chapter 1 of Genesis, to me, is one of the clearest pictures how to bring a new one on, step by step, stage by stage. So read that chapter. It got everything for everyone. Okay? Anyway, you're getting me distracted. It's all there. It's so beautifully, beautifully written down. Praise the Lord. Any more? Maybe I can talk to you. He knows. We know each other's secret. Okay? Any more?
Really? Any more?
My job's done then, huh? Yes. It's interesting with Abraham's situation that Lot is not mentioned after chapter 14 until you hit 18. So it's we have some connection. He joined the Lord the possessor of heaven and earth, and he joined Melchizedek in that prayer to defeat the five kings for Lot. So you know he was a praying person. So his first praying was in Genesis 14. Then God needed him much deeper in Genesis 18. But there's 23 years from chapter 14 to chapter 18. But it doesn't mention that much prayer he gave for him. He's facing a lot of things. And it's like us. I'm praying for a brother, which maybe I'll go see Monday, which has been on my heart for the last 8 years or more. So I'm staying till Monday, but I'm still seeking the Lord. But it doesn't mean that every day it may be, but in this case, we have just limited time. But I make mention. And at times, there is a definite, strong prayer. Right? So, the whole key is in the abiding, the feelings of what he wants to pray comes out. The prayer that Abraham had in Genesis 14, to fight, did not start with Abraham. It began with the very Melchizedek fighting in the heavens. And then Paul picks it up in chapter 7 of Hebrews. Then also in 18, that wasn't initiated by him. Because he said, can I hide from Abraham what thing I do? So after he mentions what he's going to do, there is no mention of Lot to each other. It's assumed they know the situation. Right? So the dispensing into us brings in the feeling and the thoughts of the Lord. Right? And this is the real prayer. Of course, we just have to practice. Praise the Lord, we can practice.
Amen.
Right? The more we practice, the more we can get in. And I was very thankful that the brother I was saved through did go to the training that Brother Lee had in 86, 87, I think, on the priesthood. The priest is one. What? He comes into the presence of God, the holiest of all. He brings on his shoulder plate and his breastplate the names of all the Lord's children. So as a priest, he brings man upon his shoulder to God. That's our main function. As priests, we come to bring man to God. And in the holiest of all, the very shining and infusion of God, God gets infused into us. And then when God is infused into us, this very priest becomes a king to bring God to man. And this is what he practiced. And surely this is what happened when I saw him. He brought me as a priest to God in intercession. Then when he came to class, he brought God to me. I saw something right in the middle of the class. Of all places to see God in the middle of a school class. It's hard to explain what you see, but you see something, and it's he's a very quiet person, and naturally I'm not attracted to that kind of person. No charisma. Just a flat, square brother, but full of the triune God. You see, it's not excitement, it's not this. Maybe some people will be excited, but he was just full of prayer and contacting the Lord. So every time he went to God, he brought my name. Then we came to class. There was something in him. I didn't know what it was. He never told me. And I think the timing, the time of life. And I think it's the verse I mentioned in 2 Peter. Let me read that. Maybe we can go there. Chapter 1 Peter has the virtues of him. Okay, we start with verse 1. Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have been allotted faith equally precious as ours in the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied in the full knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us all things which relate to what? Life and godliness. Life within and what? Godliness without, for expression. Through the full knowledge of him who has called us, how? By and to, actually that word, his own glory and virtue. You see something. And although he didn't say it's Christ, you know it's something you've never seen before. That glory that comes out of a man is just irresistible. You just can't fight it. And I went home one day and told my wife, I said, you know, there's a guy in our class. You have a lot of friends. What about special about this guy? His wife just gave birth. I said, what's his full name? What's his wife's name? I said, I don't know. She began to ask me a lot of questions. I said, you know what? I think I should give him a present. And I had a drawing to give him something. And my wife says, that's strange of you, you know. It's strange. How did the three men came to give presents? Where did they get that revelation? It's a shining star. Something is shining over, showing me the Christ in him. Through the human virtue. The divine attribute of God worked in us, expressed through us, shining for others to see, and that became irresistible to me. I want to give him a present. It's a present. And she says, no, you don't, and you know, and I think it was February. What's on February? Valentine? I never gave any Valentine. To me, it was baloney. I said, you know, you don't even give me Valentine or something. And you give a stranger? We had a big argument over that. I said, it's a free country. But I was being drawn by the Christ. Amen. God. Amen. God, the very God of glory, manifested in flesh. Flesh is, ooh. And that's the church, that's not only Christ. Flesh is, you're not happy when you hear flesh. If somebody say, oh, Bill, you are flesh. How you feel like? You don't feel good. Right? But in this human flesh, the very God of glory wants to shine out. That's the gospel. I could not be touched by any other gospel. Only through this one person will I hear about the gospel. And then he says, you know, he told me, it's interesting. I said, I don't have the Bible. I wasn't in the cafeteria. They never even asked me to the meeting. They prayed me right in the meeting. Then I kind of said, I believe, and I don't believe. And I said, I don't have a Bible. They gave me a Bible. Two or three, I took one. Of course, who would give their Bible? I mean, these were nice Bibles. Leather bound. So now I says, let me take the best one. Jacob still can be saved, huh? But who would give their Bible for a Buddhist? And I says, this is strange that they would give their Bible. And some other one, another brother was preaching the gospel, and he was in a negative group. But he was playing like he's part of the brothers. I knew he wasn't one of the brothers. He was doing the speaking. But inside I says, this guy is phony. And I was just watching the brother. He won't say anything. Then eventually, he opened his mouth. He says, you go home and read the Gospel of John, verse 1, 11, and 12. I says, what's the Gospel of John? I don't have even a Bible. Where's the Gospel of John? I never read the Bible, right? Then he showed me. They throw me the Bible. I picked them up. And praise the Lord, you know. For dummies like me, they got this. Even this saved me. He showed me where the verse was. And I guess after that, he got on his knees and prayed again. So I walked in my class, and he says, you go to your room and read this verse. Normal speaking, right? I went to class, and this, go to your room and read the verse, keep pounding in my head until I don't know what was going on in the class. I had to stand up, leave the class, get in my car, go to my room, and there the Lord was waiting. And I just read the verse. And I began again to pray, read. I couldn't pass as many as received him. I touched God's love. I began to weep. So that very glory that's in that brother, now with the word, came inside of me. And you talk about bearing fruit. You know, they pray in the cafeteria. I don't know about you. You like to pray out loud. In the cafeteria, all my Buddhist friends go, And the most Christians, some go like this before they eat, you know. Some are. It's okay, right? But a lot of Buddhists do that too. After I got saved, I went there the first day. Lord, thank you. You're the bread of life. Amen. I told the Lord, of all Christians, why did you let me get a hold of this noisy one? And why all my Buddhist friends, they go, you know, and I absolutely decided not to go to the cafeteria. Every lunchtime they're there. My direction of my face is away, my body goes in. But the Lord touched me that I was ashamed. And that's when the gospel started. How could I be ashamed of my Savior who saved me. I repented right in the cafeteria in tears. Lord, forgive me for being ashamed of you. And after that, every living thing that moved on the campus. No techniques. On a rainy day, I got a big umbrella. Hop in. Let it rain. In the middle of the rain, have you heard of Jesus? This is unfair. I said, this is God's love. No techniques, but a touch from the Lord.
Amen.
You can study electricity, but I tell you, grab a hold of that wire. Let electricity come through your being and rattle your brains. You'll never be the same. Let the God of glory just... Okay, concerning being intimate, Paul touches this in 2 Corinthians. He touches the Old Testament ministry. And who represents the Old Testament ministry mainly? Moses. How did Moses get that ministry? Through Egypt? Huh? What? Where? How many days? How many times 40? Three times. How you like to go on a mount and stare at God for 40 days straight? It's how intimate. Right? So here is, like Brother Lee said, we are just like a black iron. Nothing in it. No glory. So the 40 days was coming to God as a consuming fire, putting the iron in there, and the fire gets in the iron. What happens to the iron? It glows. Not through the iron, but through the fire. So when Moses came down from the mountain, what happened? This iron was... Okay, that's the Old Testament. Now, who had really represented the New Testament in completion of God's Word? Okay, it's then Paul says the New Testament is this way. Nevertheless, when the what? Heart what? Turns to the Lord. The veil is what? And we all... With what kind of face?
Unveiled.
Beholding our problems?
No.
Beholding and reflecting like a what?
Mirror.
The glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Are being transformed.
Amen.
Into the same image.
Amen.
Which is very God himself. From glory to glory, even as the Lord's Spirit. We're just mirrors. How many used a mirror this morning? How are you like if your mirror jumped around? What's the function of the mirror? If you were combing your hair, sisters, this morning, and your mirror goes, what will you do with that mirror? The mirror is to reflect you. Our job as the mirror is just to behold the Lord. How much we behold the Lord is how much we have the ministry. Then through that, okay, the commission the Lord gave to Paul, let's go to Acts 26. It's not a magical thing. How many would like to do like what Paul did in verse 18? Let's all read 18 together.
To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, amen, and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me.
To open their what?
Eyes.
Turn them from darkness to light. And what? From the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, the inheritance. Then verse 19.
Therefore, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision.
How many would like to open people's eyes? How do you open people's eyes? Let's read from verse 14. Paul testifies. And when
we all fell to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.
And I said, Who are you, Lord?
And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute.
Okay, here's the commission. But
rise up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose.
For I have what?
Appeared to you for this purpose.
He appeared. Okay? To appoint you a minister and a witness, both of the things in which you have seen who?
Me.
And of the things in which I will appear. What we seen of him and what he appears to us, this is the infusion of the triune God. That's what's opened people's eyes. Now, this is my interpretation. John chapter 8. Yes. Don't turn there. There was a blind man. How did the Lord open his eyes? Did he say, eyes be open? What did he do? How did he get the clay? Huh? Spit. God, you know that God made a spit? And what did he do with it? You know what we are? We are just clay. God infused himself into that clay. No dust can open people's eyes. Only the dust that's mingled with God. You put it over people's eyes. That's our job. Whether they wash, it's up to them. You put the clay on the eye. Oh, wow. It's a strange thing, too, that he had the faith to wash. Go wash at the pool. He's blind. He can't see. Where's the pool? He never said. He just went and washed. By faith. When you are mingled, you beheld the Lord and reflect the Lord in the morning, you have the essence of his spittle, the life-giving spirit. The very process trying God as the spirit consummated to be the spirit with his humanity, divinity, everything, and he mingles with you. You are now that precious spittle over man's eyes to open their eyes. Why is Brother Lee's ministry powerful? It's not doctrines. It's full of the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Whenever you touch the Lord, then that becomes. Then chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, we do not preach ourselves, not just on topic, but essence. So to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the authority of Satan to God, what a commission! I'm happy somebody opened my eyes.
Amen.
How many are glad your eyes are open?
Amen.
How many would like to open somebody else's eyes?
Amen.
To open their eyes. So the intimacy with the Lord, the time with the Lord, is very crucial. And that's my first point I started with in John 15. Abide means to be intimate. The branches and the vine, when the branch were cut off, it's a specific part of that branch must connect to a specific part of the vine. Otherwise, there's no grafting. You cannot put it on the bark. You gotta touch the cambium layer, both of them. There has to be a real intimacy. So with the type, which is still, and for the Old Testament, it was the real God of glory on the mount. Moses spent face to face. So when Miriam and Aaron rebelled, right? As how come why can't we also speak? What did the Lord say to them? Yes, generally he speaks to the congregation. Everyone. But with Moses, my servant, I speak to him mouth to mouth. And then she got leprosy. And we can see the seed of it with Abraham. How can I hide what I'm going to do from Abraham? That's intimate. So Genesis 18 shows an intimate relationship. And then Paul is the one that carried it in the New Testament. He would say, we're just a mirror. If you look at me, I'm just reflecting Christ. For me to live is Christ. How can I mean, if I just preach to my wife after I got so-called going to heaven or this and that, just a doctrine, you think she'll believe? If I'm going to heaven, she says, I'm going another place. I don't want to go where that monster is going. Right? I don't blame her. But the change of a man touching God, that gave me the right to speak to her. I appoint you a minister in the things which you have seen in me and in the things I will appear unto you. Continually open that the Lord will appear to us.
Amen.
The more he appears to us, the more we behold him, the more ministry we have of the New Testament. So the New Testament, brothers and sisters, is we have to be sick with love.
Amen.
I mean, Brother Lee should retire. He's 90 almost. You know anybody at 90 years old so burdened like him? There's a fire in him that never stops. And somehow we got here. So a lot of my time is spent in the life study. What can I offer of my own mind? No, he has experienced it, and now he gives the door for us to open. You know, my mother, first meeting I took her on was the Crazy Lovers of Jesus. How many? Pat, did you stand on the chairs at the meeting? Crazy young people.
Wow.
And here's my mother, you know. Oh, wow. After the meeting, I says, well, Mom, I thought she was going to say, you know, what is this? Brother Lee spoke, after all us young people crazy. We were crazy. We were doubly sick, incurably sick. I brought my mother home. First meeting, I said, oh, of all meetings. Where's my discernment? And Bradley spoke. And my mother is very simple. I said, how, She says, today I heard God speaking. Wow. And I went, today I was in my mind. While God was speaking, I was in my mind. The Lord said, you the problem, not her. So, I told her she has to preach the gospel. She does it. Okay, so we need to be those, not just dust, but full of the Spirit. So the God-man living is the base for our preaching. That doesn't mean you don't preach. You know, the woman at the well, was she qualified? I take the other side now. Her qualification is she drank the triune God.
Amen.
Amazing, right? She must have changed. One drink of the triune God, there's a well in her bubbling over. And Psalm 45 says what? My heart is bubbling over with a God matter. Not only good, Old Testament is God, oh good, but New Testament is God matter. I speak what I have composed, touching the King.
Amen.
I touch the King.
Amen.
In the one of the footnotes, looking away unto Jesus, right? What does it say? He's an immense magnet, right? Drawing, right? Okay. Let's say you are the very God, big, immense magnet, right? And this guy is rough, tough. He went, and what happened? He got stuck to the immense magnet. Now, inside of me is this divine metal. I come close to him, that magnetism now attracts me. Oh, I'm stuck too. Everyone that has that openness will get touched. He's the immense magnet. Who can resist? Who can resist? I tell people, try it. Try God. If you're better, you can find something better, give him up. What you got to lose? I guarantee. Guaranteed satisfaction. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of my teachers got too close to me. They want me to speak on something else. I said, no, I want that topic. In a nice way. Nobody chose that topic. I chose it. He says, what are you going to use? What book? I opened my case. I had a big case, a big Bible. I pull out the Bible. He says, You cannot use that. And what I did? I said, sir, you are the instructor. I'm the student. I just stared right in his eyes. I leave it up to you whether I can use this book or not. If I cannot use this book in your class, I must drop your class. You make that decision. He goes, I stared him with the triunga. He got convicted. I touched his country. He said, wait a minute. I'm a Catholic. I turn on the magnetism. Hey! And he says, what are you going to talk about? Full voltage! 2 to 3 hours straight with him. Wow. He said, we need another time. I said, yes, we need another time. That's a student-teacher relationship. The second time, this man began calling on the Lord with me.
Wow. Amen.
How do you think I felt? Huh? My instructor is calling on the Lord of me. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He says, oh, this is good. He says, why don't you speak to my 4 classes? I says, wonderful. I had such fun. Christian life is full of fun. You're crazy. That's not normal, people say. I'd like to be abnormal. If that's normal, I don't want it. I like to be abnormal.
Yeah.
It's a, oh, wonderful. Call me more abnormal. I'm getting worse. I'm young and I'm in love.
Amen.
And he loves you too.
Amen.
And they curse. I said, look, your mouth is baby compared to mine when I curse. Yours only you can hear up to here. I made somebody 1 block away here. You don't curse loud enough. I did. The first time I call on his name, he saved me. With a cursing mouth first. What love, huh? So even the curse, I use it. Because I'm a blasphemer. A Buddhist, but when I got angry, I cursed Jesus. One day I said, strange, I don't believe in Jesus, I curse him. Sure, I don't curse Buddha, he's dead. Jesus is alive!
Amen.
It's a very strange human being. I don't believe in God, they say. Something goes wrong, they blame God. They blame the very one they don't believe. I said, why do you believe God? No, why do you blame him? Don't blame him. You don't believe him. Don't blame him. If you believe, you blame him, then you believe. There is a God. Don't talk like that. I was preaching the gospel. One guy came up to me and says, there's no God. Atheist. His friend was looking at him. What I do? I just ignore him. Kept sharing. Hit me again. There's no God. Kept sharing. Third time, what? There's no God. I said, if there's no God, why are you so bothered? He shut his mouth. And his friend says, see, you can't say anything after that, huh? I was calling on the Lord. One guy says, I'm Lord. I says, really? He says, yeah. I says, okay, get ready. I'm going to hang you on the tree. and see what happens to you.
Get me down! He said, no, I'm not Lord. I said, I'll put you on the tree. You serious? You're the Lord? I'll let me hang you. Oh, you're just lying. I'm lying. Okay. Now you need the Lord. How this happened, I don't know. I just enjoying the Lord. Went to the cafeteria one day. Brother was bummed out. He went, Jesus! Right in the cafeteria. Clank, 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 oh, spoons, knives, falling. Somebody go, hey! The Lord says, get him. I says, Lord, brother yelled. He shouldn't have yelled. Go get him? Yeah, I'll go get him. I said. Why you say hey for? let me tell you what. Didn't you promise God, after you come out of the war, that you'll give your life to him? He goes, how do you know? I said, I know. Right now, you have to receive him. So sometimes it's tender. And the other guy, his friend, was yakking off. I says, in the name of the Lord, quiet. Shut your mouth. He stayed shut up. And he received the Lord. So you don't know. The Lord is the Lord. But it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
But be nice. Sisters are the best. One sister, she couldn't open her mouth, and she was crying. I can't find anybody, this and that. And then she prayed. I said, just keep praying, keep praying. The Lord will do something. One day she got brave enough to carry a Bible openly on the campus, and a girl was praying, Lord, where are the Christians? She saw the sister carry the Bible, and she followed the sister. She's in the church. What we're not, he is. That's all I can say. If you're short, just tell him I'm short. Just carry the Bible around. But enjoy the Lord. Contact him. So I don't know who's the right ones to preach the gospel, really. To me, sisters are the best because they don't know enough verses to argue. Brothers got all the verses, I mean, and they find all the rules. Sisters, somebody want to argue? Oh, go next one. Oh, there's an open one. Brothers with the wolf. How was it? Oh, yeah, we had a good... Oh, I'm half dead anyway. I've been on the tree of knowledge. Your natural strength becomes a weakness. We're not there to win arguments. We're there to find the sons of peace.
Amen.
So just spread yourself. Who you don't know who? You don't know who. I just, we had a Chinese sister live with us. Her name was Angel. And she started early in the morning. And the guy came in my house somehow. And I woke up, and this guy is about 6'3", sleeping on my couch, complete stranger. And I said, my, what is this guy doing? My wife says, somebody's sleeping on the couch. We don't know who it is. I says, I'm here. My wife is here. My daughter is here. And my mother's here. You know, I don't have that much protection.
I grabbed the phone. 911. I can't press. I had the sense, no. Share the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, I'll be martyred. I'll be martyred. What would you do? And I says, maybe it's not the Lord that told me that, you know. I says, okay, I'll do it anyway. So I says, well, let me call the brothers. The biggest guy I know around. Praise the Lord, Dick Taylor. Wisdom, amen. I got another brother and him. They try to wake him up, and he goes, oh! Eventually, he woke up. He says, where am I? He lost his job. The wife kicked him out of his house. He's walked on the street, and he lost contact of what it is for 4 days. He ended up in my house. So right then the Lord says, inside, I think it's the Lord, cook him a breakfast. So I made a good American breakfast. I bought him a breakfast. And I just gave him the breakfast. This man began to weep. He says, sorry. You're the owner of the house. He says, I didn't ask permission. I could have been shot. I says, you're in the right place for you to be saved and baptized. He got saved and baptized. Amen. Also, I carry around cable for, you know, cars, the battery that broke down. How many carry that around? You should love mankind, see? I live by the campus, and then a lot of people leave the lights on, and then they go, and I start. I get my cable. Thank you. Where do you live? Across the street. Come over. Everywhere. Contact people. I have enough parking at my house to park 7 cars. Because there's not enough parking at campuses. So when there's one, I learned this from the brother I got saved through. He says, why don't you park at my house? I park in his garage, and I says, I kept parking. After a couple of weeks, I said, where is his car? Found out he parked a quarter mile away to open his parking for me. I just sat in my car, just wept. What is this? I wouldn't give up my parking for the President of the United States. My garage is my garage. Except my wife invaded it. Anyway, that touched me. He never told me. Then I would park my car, and I would go in his house every day. And pretty soon, by 4 to 5 months, I'm almost praying 1 hour a day with him already. I use his parking. So I parked. I just made enough for 7 cars. Oh, the Lord touched me to do it. I do it, right? And people say, "How you don't have that many cars?" I say, I like it this way. I don't have to mow that much. No, it's really, really true. make it convenient. We don't have any gimmicks, but we have love for man. Right? Even some Gentiles, they're not saved, they come and visit me. The Lord loves them. 2 years, one, he's not saved yet, he comes around. Okay. I went off the tangent again. I would like to touch right now your couples. Could I see all the couples that are involved with the Campus Work? Stand up. These couples have a function. You students must pray that they will always be healthy in the Lord. These are your business partners. And they need your function to get people. Okay? Now I want to see the students. Stand, all the students. You are the church's capital for the increase. It doesn't mean we don't, but you're the only one that can touch the young people on the campus. I'm too old. I mean, I can go, but my days for campus to go on by myself is over. I can go, but it's not as effective as you are. They ask me, what are you doing here? I go, I come to eat lunch here, you know. Right? You will never be that young again. And most of what I learned is at that age. You get formed in a very young age. But you need the couple. Now, whether you do it this way or not, I have some couples working with me and students on a small junior college, and we park our houses right around it. One is only about 1 minute from the center of the campus. Walk right in. So that brother had a burden, and he bought a house. It wasn't suited for the work. He put $50,000 in it to make it good for the campus work. And we meet with the students. I meet with the, we complicated situation. We have the trainees from Anaheim that comes to the campus. We have students that are there, and we have the saints in the church also. But we have meetings all together at least once or twice, once every 2 weeks or 1 week. Depends on the need. And we go over everything concerning the campus. All the new ones, what situation they're in, and what houses they've been to, how to take every new one on. We have a fellowship. There's no individual, well, this is my new one. Richard is my new one. You know, nobody touch him, you know. He's my baby, you know. No. We help each other. What you yourself, maybe you, I may be an expert in cooking something, right? What if I'm an expert in cooking potato? How much potato can you eat from me? But after one time of potato, that's enough. I had enough of that potato. You need him.
Taco.
You need him. You need him. The whole church is rich. So you fellowship everything. And number two, you don't have individual kinds of fellowship. Everyone knows where that person is. And it's not for gossip. We don't touch the negative side. We touch how to bring them on and to pray for them. So we pray a lot. And I realize just to have a meeting like this with students, the couples, and full-timers, It's really amazing. I really feel the Lord will really bless. You are right there. And we want to see a lot of full-time trainees coming out of this area. And they'll say, oh, yeah, I got saved through a certain brother. I said, I know that brother. We catch them on the other side. We feed them the same thing. We're in one recovery.
Amen.
Right? There's no such a thing as California recovery or Texas or Far East or this and that. There's only one recovery.
Amen.
Right? Our work should be just like that. I feel if I moved here, I would really enjoy it. Actually, I influenced you to buy that house. I says, brother, fate is like a gamble. Get it. He said, I don't have money. Me too. I didn't have money either. The money will come. If you really have the burden, somehow it came. I did the same thing. You know, when I was there, we moved to Long Beach. Nobody was working. We just migrated. Nobody had jobs, this and that. So I like a certain house by the campus. And I says, I want to buy this house. And the guy says, well, what kind of this and this? We had nothing. I said, let's make a contract, you know, like the movies they have, IOU. So I just made a land contract. He wrote the contract, I signed it, and this and that, and we just, yeah. We didn't go to the bank or anything. And he liked it. And I liked it too. I went to the house, I knocked on the door, the lady was there, and I said, I don't want to rent the house, is it for rent? I said, I want to buy it. She says, it's very strange. She says, I'm a Christian. I was just praying to sell this house to a Christian couple. I said, here you are. It's answered the prayer. So I went over that night, and my wife and I, and wherever we look at the cameras, ooh, wow, it's right there. So even a house like that, you have to contact the Lord. Pray for the couples, their homes, their situation. Everything will run properly. They need the grace. They need the supply. Anyway, I came back that night, and we're talking away, and he says, how much do you want to buy the house for? I said, you price it. And I studied the whole neighborhood. So he gave a price. I says, good, I'll take it. He was shocked. Later on, I realized, no, he went too low. He went $500 too low. So I gave him $500 more. I says, you went too low. It's $500 more. But the Lord has used that place. So the homes are very crucial. You bring a young one, Brother Lee says, if you bring a new one, 75%, if you bring a new one into a home in that kind of atmosphere, they'll get saved. You read on the book, this is what I base it on, and this is what I practiced before. The college campus work, the young people. One-on-one. One-on-one, if you train yourself one-on-one, not too much activity, just one-on-one or two-by-two. Then wherever you go to work later, the same principle works. The Lord did it. Paul did it. Peter did it. Right? So practice this. And bring them to our home. Start playing this guitar. Enjoy the Lord together. Pretty soon they're singing with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pretty soon they're saying amen.
Amen.
After they sing amen, they say praise the Lord.
Amen.
How about it? It's that simple. Enjoy the Lord. Huh? Praise the Lord. We have the brothers out here. Solid. I know Raul is always laboring. And look, you have, how many come back? Where's Ben? Yeah, but he's coming back here, huh?
Right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll be working on a campus. Look, Richard's here, you have, and all these brothers. I mean, you have an excellent situation. So I would say just go on positively. Okay? How many love him?
Amen.
Right? What else we have to do? Right? What a wonderful life we have. Huh? Sister's house? Wow. Where can you live and being transformed at the same time? Huh? Wonderful. The best house my wife and I lived in when we have 18 to 21 brothers. The Bible said, every race can exist together in the new man. I says, let me practice it. We started with five and we prayed, and our motto was, spend and be spent for the Lord.
Amen.
Spend everything, time, energy, money, and be spent by others.
Amen.
Then the Lord used that. He added 12 to the house or more in 1 year. And sometimes there was 21 in the house. Weekend, they would all give up their beds, put the new ones in. They do all the cookings on the weekend. My wife was working. The brothers, they cook for 30 people. Thursday night, when it's an off night, they want to clean the house and bake for the whole church, young people, brothers. They gave up their soul life. What a place we have. We can give up our soul life.
Amen.
And gain the Lord.
Amen.
Don't guard your soul life so much. Spend it. Let it be slaughtered. You'll be so happy. Are you glad with yourself? When a self is on the cross, you're so happy. That's when the Lord says, in the by the cleft of the rock, in the what, covert of the precipice. At that point, the Lord says, "Let me hear your voice."
Amen.
If it's not in the cross, don't speak. It's at the cleft of the rock, in the covert of these precipices. Let me hear your voice. Let me see your countenance. For your voice is sweet, and your countenance is beautiful.
Amen.
How beautiful! Huh? I love that book. Well, I think I better stop here, Raul. Any questions? Come on. When I saw you come back from Taipei with a wife that's ready for the gospel, I couldn't face the Lord if you didn't get a house on the campus. I knew it would make a big difference if you had the house or not the house at this point. Somebody had to dive in. Aren't you glad he dove in?
Amen.
So now we can all dive in.
Amen.
We need each other.
Right.
Right? And I'm glad our wives are for us. We've got to pray for our wives.
Amen.
They do all the cooking. All the cleaning. Who would like to do cooking? Who would like to enjoy the Lord cooking?
Amen.
Ah! It's a big, big, big thing. Huh? You know when the Lord shared on the kingdom the 40 days? Acts chapter 1. Let's turn there. You got to stop man, see? You know, man needs to be stopped that they could listen and hear. Okay, verse 4, let's all read that. Acts 1, 4. 1, 3, and 4.
suffering by many irrefutable proofs, appearing to them through a period of 40 days, and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God.
Okay, now this is serious matter, right? And verse 4. And
as he met together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me.
So this is very intimate fellowship. Look at the footnote, met, 4:1. What does it say? Aha! You think he did it in a big college or this, while they're eating together. I find that most effective time of my sharing is when we're eating together. If they all drop their, oh, good chicken, yeah, 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 trying God, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Everyone has to stop to eat. While they're not eating, their mind is. You can almost see the mind. You got to pull them back. But nothing like roast turkey with all the stuffings. Huh? You go to that house, you're half saved already. Right? Because they come as they are. No pretense, no. Everyone, big, small, smart, dumb, eats the same way. Everyone's equal. You know, you eat the chicken leg just the way I eat the chicken leg. I may use chopstick, you may use knife, but it goes into our... And when it goes here, the taste is the same. The Lord used that to stop us. I'm not saying you make it a way, but pray over even the preparing of the food. Pray over everything. Amen. Everything we have is for the Lord's move.
Amen.
Right? Okay. Am I free? Question? Free. Questions? Nobody's opening up here. Yes.
How do you take care of the ones that
the new ones are doing? Okay. So the major thing of taking care of the new one is we lose our soul life. Paul opened up the matter, I would gladly spin and be spent. When we take the Lord instead of ourselves, we abide in the vine. We're taking another life. When I live myself, it doesn't help anybody. Remember the Lord in John chapter 10, he says, I am come that you might have what? And you might have it what? And then right after that, he says, I am a good shepherd. The good shepherd, what does he do? He'd lay down his life. Every time you lay down your life and take care of, it's like a mother taking care of a baby. She got to take care of it. She lays down her needs, her this, and takes care of another life. Then that person gets help. So a lot of it is the cross. The abiding point is where the branches were cut and the vine is cut. That's where the connection comes. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Right at the point when you give up and you where you're in the Word, and you know that word I shared, he says, take care of him, right? If you spend in addition what I give to you, when I return, I will repay you. That means that's not easy. All the time we said, I don't have enough. Raul called me. Could you come to the Metroplex? My first thought was, we have so many things here to do, but I don't want to lose my soul life. But you know, I can't lie to him. We've been together too long. So I says, okay, brother. The only thing I buckled a little bit about is he called the third day and he gave me another chore.
Tomorrow morning?
Oh. Amen. Paul West. You should hide your soul life. Anyway, this is the big thing. Fruit bearing and caring is dispensing life. You know how much we dispense life. So Paul says, what? If I, what, die, you? That works in me and what? And you will see little things. I mean, transportation sometimes is a huge cross. No one can pick up a new one. Morning revival. Yeah, Lord, we pray, get him in the morning. Right. He has no transportation. Transportation. Oh. You can get him. Just to drive. We need a lot of people who like to drive. Give up your soul life. All these little things add up. So the whole church has to come into function. Don't think you driving the car in the spirit, maybe that's the best time for you to dispense. You think maybe, in the meeting. No, it's maybe right at that point. Right in the car, he opens up. I know one brother, he picked up these two young ones from South LA, and you'll be surprised who they are today, for 2 years. Gerald Chan. 2 years, as teenagers, he just.
Gerald went to pick them up?
Gerald was the one who was being picked up. I think it was that long, something like a year or so, or more. I think it was two. They used to wear short pants.
Oh, sorry.
So, to lose our soul life, this is the big thing. And when you live in a sister's house, what's the biggest hindrance? Get out of the bathroom! I mean, on. Well, I've had my own bathroom my whole life. Now you share it with four. Don't have to comb your hair that long. Hey, I hate that sister for saying that. Just because of that, I'm going to take longer. Put off the old man, your former manner of life, and you be the happiest. You be the happiest. My house is invaded every day. Every day. My mother says, from morning to night. I says, Mom, you've been praying about that. Praise the Lord. It's not bad for her at that age. So when it really comes down to it, we have to lose our soul life. Our own comfort, our way we do it, the way we want, what kind of food we want. I mean, you go to brother's house, they don't care what they cook. As long as it's a mountain, they're happy. I don't care. It's the best steak. If it's not a mountain, I'm not satisfied. Big mountain. Sisters, you give them a big mountain. What is this?
quality.
Now I have sister's house. I had an easier time with 18 brothers than with two sisters. Some won't speak to each other for 1 month. You live in the same room, you don't speak to each other. I won't speak to you too. Praise the Lord, we can get saved from ourselves.
Amen.
Right? You are getting saved while you're taking care of others. Saved from the self. Unless a grain of wheat, what? Into the ground and just is comfortable. And what? It what? But if it dies, the real cross bears fruit. All the talk about cross and no fruit to me is more like Buddhism. The word says you die and it has to bear fruit. This is the principle. It's not the funny barren cross, you know. Ooh, Raul, I really, really suffered, you know. Now I want you to listen to me how much I suffered. And I want you to suffer just like the way I suffered. You're having too good a time. Paul and Silas took the cross in prison. What did they do? Sing! Hallelujah!
Amen.
What happened when they're singing? Earthquake! Ooh. Smart earthquake. It didn't shake anywhere else except the prison. we were really worried about our morning revival in Los Angeles. We got big, the church, and some don't touch the Lord. They come in the morning. Amen, amen. Sometimes upside down the Bible. Amen, amen. And then we had the big earthquake. Remember that big earthquake? Wow, my chimney came down. The ceilings were coming down. We had 100% show up. Oh, when we pray red that morning, but wow! And they met, amen, 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 amen. I know, sometimes we just get, exercise our spirit.
Amen.
Every morning, contact Him.
Amen.
Every day, enjoy Him.
Amen.
Lay down our soul life.
Amen.
Contact the Lord. That will supply the new one. Okay? I think I better stop right here. Sorry. I didn't have time to plan. So, you forgive me? And pray for us, too. We'll pray for you.
Amen.
Okay?